Welcome to Inside the Match, where Alex and Simone talk residency applications.
We are two residents here to help you navigate the match.
For each podcast, we'll bring you residents from various specialties and backgrounds to give advice. Hey, Michael, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
So, Michael, can you tell us where you are in residency and what specialty you're in?
Yeah, right now I'm a PGY1 intern at the University of California at San Francisco. I'm in the neurology program doing my medicine year right now.
So if you feel comfortable, we always like to start the podcast with some rapid fire questions in regards to some specialty groups and clubs within medical school. Are you ready?
Yes.
Were you AOA?
I was.
Were you Gold Humanism?
Yes.
Were you president of your specialty club?
I was not. We actually did not have a neurology club.
Were you involved in research during medical school?
Nope.
So what parts of your ERAS application did interviewers mostly bring up during the interview process?
I think most consistently, I was asked about my hobbies, which was a lot of fun. It really helped kind of lighten the mood of the interview trail. And it was really nice to talk about things that are hobbies, like not things that I'm good at, but things that just make me happy and I like to do. And then at the remaining programs, I would say it was like, there was a couple things that popped up. So one or two would ask me about my personal statement. One or two would ask me about this item on my CV. Another couple would pick a different item on my CV. So it was a really nice mix, but most consistently my hobbies.
So, you know, a lot of the times we also get some tough questions during an interview. So can you provide some examples of tough questions that you got on the trail?
Yeah, I would definitely say that like anyone who's listening to this and is going into neurology, almost every single one of my interviews was very casual, lots of collegial conversations more than anything. Nothing was meant to be intimidating or tough. I had a couple that I really had to think about and reflect, which are worth sharing. One interviewer asked me which of the four principles of medical ethics, so autonomy, beneficence, non-malfeasance, and justice, were most guiding to my life, which was a really cool and challenging question on the spot. I discussed like how beneficence was most important to me, like that the kind of guiding principle in wanting to be both a doctor and an educator was to work hard to make life easier for other people and to create benefit. And it let me tie in some of my specialty interests. I'm very interested in palliative care with neurologic diseases and how much you can add benefit to a patient's life by kind of helping them navigate disease and walking with them through disease rather than just focusing on curing or treating or fixing something. I also was asked a really interesting, challenging question about how I would respond if a team member, so a nursing staff who was present in the room while I was seeing a patient, when we left the room, told me that they felt I was being very racist in that patient encounter. I thought this was an important question, like one, to not microaggress the nurse. To not assign gender to the nursing staff in my reply, but then also just to see how, you would navigate the important emotional intelligence that it does in participating on the medical team and to figure out kind of what are your previous behaviors that have led.
Those are some awesome questions.
Yeah,
and also ones that are super difficult to answer. And it sounds like you were able to come up with your answer choice as you went on during the interview. But sometimes we get overwhelmed and there might be an inappropriate question that's thrown our way on the interview trail. How do you advise that an applicant respond to some of these questions, which may be violations, but are sometimes asked, unfortunately, on the trail?
Yeah, I think that's a really hard situation and one that I hope that most applicants don't find themselves in. There are questions that are like flagrant match violations. So I would encourage people to kind of look into that. Like there are things that you're more or less not allowed to be asked, and navigating that is incredibly hard because I think you feel this pressure to perform in the interview and do exactly what the program wants. But I also think it's really important to think about how the line of questioning makes you feel. Because if you feel uncomfortable in the line of questioning in an interview, I would, you know what I mean, listen to that on how you're going to feel as a resident of that institution. So I don't think I was asked any match violations, which is great. But I did have a couple interviewers who I think made me feel small, which to be in. I come from a smaller med school. I had an interviewer who was pretty, I think, in my opinion, unkind about that, was very interested in letting me know that candidates from other schools were at a better advantage because they had an epilepsy monitoring unit at their hospital and that they all would have rotated through it, and really didn't ask me any other questions about anything other than how poor my like epilepsy experience was leading into the interview. And I actually didn't rank this program because of this interaction with this interviewer. So I would encourage people to kind of stand for themselves and to not let, you know, I mean, inappropriate lines of questioning. I don't think that in an experience where you're trying to pick your future colleagues that you have to stand for that. Yeah, I also had another, and I think that that kind of goes in the line of like what programs are going to support you. I'm very interested in teaching, very interested in clinical practice as part of my career. Had an interviewer ask me, your resume looks great for XYZ, but when you come here, how will it change in order to be a better like research-minded person or research-minded clinician? And this was another question I think that I would say made me feel very small. And it made me feel that I wouldn't be a celebrated member of the team at this institution. So I at that point was comfortable, I think, in other places I interviewed that I felt like I could answer honestly and be like, you know, it really won't. This is who I am and this is who I want to be. And so I want a program that's going to help me in that regard. So I'm not trying to change me into someone else.
It's so true. And it gives you an opportunity to decipher exactly where you may belong. And this may be an opportunity for someone to learn whether or not they would actually be a good fit at that particular program. So I think those are awesome ways in which we can learn from not only the resident pre-interview dinner, but also learn about the approach that attendings and program directors take when they ask questions during an actual interview. Sometimes we get like really unusual or unique questions, like, you know, what kind of superpower would you want to have? Did you ever get any of these more unusual or unique questions? And if so, what were they?
I don't think I did. I think those are fun. You know, you go into an interview season and you're ready for, oh, what person, dead or alive, would you have dinner with and why? And what is your superpower? And out of a box of Crayola crayons, which one are you and why? I don't think I got any of those. I had a really unique and insightful question from an interviewer that I would just highlight, that one had commented on my personal statement and just said, like, it's clear from this and then your hobby list and, you know what I mean, some other things that you really like to read, like who is an influential teacher in your life, or, you know what I mean, or who is the biggest influence for that. So I don't know that that counts as unique, but it was just a really insightful question. And I love when interviewers kind of take little pieces of things that they read about you and turn it into a question that helps you kind of shine.
And now I'm really curious about this teacher. Were you able to, you know, find someone, especially within English or writing, that played a really influential role in your life and your journey towards medicine?
Oh, absolutely. I doubt very much that she is listening to a podcast about matching into medical residency, but Miss Suzanne Canavan was my 10th grade English teacher. At a very kind of important time in my life, just like was hugely influential in inspiring me to be curious. But I think at a time where I was otherwise vulnerable to like, oh, reading books and being nerdy is not cool and I don't want to do that anymore. She was just huge and really put me on a path to be where I am today. So I'm forever in her debt.
And I think that's important to mention and bring up because so many people believe that what they have to say needs to be medically or science related. But when you can showcase that you have interests outside of medicine and you have influential people in your life outside of science, it shows that you are well-rounded. And I think that's very important towards making yourself a great resident and seeing if you're a fit at a particular program.
So, absolutely.
You know, a lot of the times we get overwhelmed and intimidated by program directors and don't know what to ask. So I was wondering if you had any recommendations for what to ask a program director during the interview.
Yeah, so this is a really hard question to provide like blanket advice to. And one way that I might encourage people to think about it is look at it like a review of systems. Like, you're not going to ask every single question in a review of systems to every single patient every single time. So kind of let it be organic. I know that like people will recommend, ask a program director what's changed in the last 5 years, or what are some things that you've done that show you're receptive to feedback, or what are the best things about your program that separate you from other places? I would ask those questions if you have concerns that things haven't changed in the last 5 years, if residents have hinted to you that there's, you know what I mean, scheduling difficulties and things like that, but not to just ask them for the sake of asking them. I think the majority of my interview with program directors trying to show that I read the website and that I didn't need to ask things like, how many residents are there, or how much elective do you have each year, or things that were accessible to me. So instead saying, hey, I read your website. I myself am very interested in neuropalliative care. I know that's kind of rare, but I saw that you had a fellow match into neuropalliative care a couple years ago, that you have a faculty member in this department. Like, can you help me understand like what it looks like to be a resident at this program who is interested in a very niche field, like, or something that one shows you've done your research, two kind of tees you up to talk about your career. I think those are the type of questions that I would reserve for a program director.
Those are great examples. And I feel like everyone should take that logical approach, not only when they're talking to a program director, but also other attendings who are spending the day interviewing as well. They would rather get more specific questions than ones that are more general. And, you know, this year is different because interviews are virtual on Zoom or on other online platforms. But I'm curious, you know, what you would recommend that an applicant ask residents, especially during these pre-interview socials.
Yeah, it is. And I think the pre-interview dinner being one of my favorite parts in reflection of the interview season. So I've been thinking a lot about how that's going to be replicated this year, like how we're going to supplement that for trainees applying here, and what parts of the experience are going to be the hardest. One thing that I think is going to be important is to just not go into the conversation with an agenda, right? So to see, is this a group of people with whom I could spend time and be happy, right? Did this program attract candidates in the past who I would like to be in their company? Is advice piece number 1, 2, and 3. And then the next thing is I have a clinical goal, right? So if you're applying into a surgical field and you're interested, let's say you're applying into OB and you're interested in being a generalist, asking how many a fourth year resident, if they would feel comfortable performing procedures that a generalist would need to perform, or do they feel like they have to do a fellowship? For me, it was to a fourth year resident, do you make stroke TPA decisions, right? Or do the fellows at your institution do that? Will I be a comfortable generalist after training here? It's questions like that that kind of give you an insight. Everyone's going to tell you that they have excellent training, and that's the truth, right? All programs have excellent training, but there are going to be subtleties to how people are prepared for different scopes of practice, and talking to the residents who live it's going to help you find that out.
So true. It's very important to remember that a residency program is mandated to fit ACGME requirements, but in order for them to be unique, they need to have these other experiences. And those are really only questions that you get best answered through residents and through speaking with them and learning about their program. So at the end of this interview process, it comes down to ranking, which is a very stressful process for medical school students. And I was just wondering, what played a role in your decision when ranking residency programs, and what advice do you have to applicants that are going to be putting together their rank lists in a few months?
Yeah, such a great question. And like, it's the end of the road that we all work towards for the longest time. And I like to break it up in like this framework of thinking about three different things. Consider one, the location, right? And I mean that in the sense of, do you like the city? Do you like the weather, the climate? Is it close to family? Is it far from family? How does that play in? Number two, how does the program support your goals within medicine? If you want to work with a specific population of people, if you have a particular fellowship in mind, if you have a clinical practice setting. Number three, how does the program support you in all of the work that you want around medicine, right? Are you interested in being an educator? Do you have global health aspirations? Do you want to work in policy? You're going to have a relative priority list of those three things, right? It's okay if your number one priority is location, right? You might say, location and then goals around medicine are the two most important things to me. And my rank list is going to be driven by those two things. You might really only care about the clinical work, right? So the work within medicine and things like location and other things are going to fall by the wayside. Knowing what your personal priorities are going to help you build a rank list that's right for you. I would encourage people to deviate away from what other people choose for their rank list because it's someone else's priorities. And then I think at the end of the day, after you interview with places, listen to kind of the feelings that it's a little harder to make logic. I'm a spreadsheet and a logic person. So how did I feel about the program at like a very visceral level when I was talking to the people there? And then the other side of that coin is, how did that program make me feel about me? I gave an answer earlier where I talked about programs that made me feel very small when I was interviewing an applicant and being fortunate enough to have choice, right? I listened to that. I was like, if you made me feel small in the hour or two that I spoke with you, I don't know that I would want that for 4 years of my training. So all of that really boiled down into my final rank list.
Wow, you know, you've provided such awesome tips for those going into neurology and all other specialties within medicine. So we very much appreciate that, but we want to give you the opportunity to let us know if there's anything else that you'd like to add or offer about the residency or application interview process.
Yeah, there's like one other thing that I would say, and it's so hard. And I just wanted to kind of normalize that it's challenging for everyone. At the end of the day, right, the similarity between programs, most programs are 80 to 90% similar. You're going to be an excellent doctor no matter where you train. We have to do this weird thing where we interview at a bunch of places. We convince ourselves that we love all of them and we would be happy with any of them because we know the match doesn't always give us our first choice. But in the same breath, we do have to stratify people by very, very subtle differences. So it's very easy to get into this kind of challenging psychology of wanting your number one because you've convinced yourself it's your number one, but also being really happy with your number seven. So I don't have an answer for it. I just think if you acknowledge that's what's happening, you can kind of breathe a little bit easier at the end of the day.
That's such a great motto, and that's something we all need to remind ourselves, whether we're applying to residency, fellowship, or looking for a future career in a specific location. We need to think about that each time. So we like to end our podcast with a fun fact. So Michael, can you share a fun fact about yourself?
Oh man. I think in being a very type A person who's also working a lot as an intern, I've been trying out a bunch of different hobbies. And my fun fact is that I think a paint by numbers is the type A person's relaxation of dreams because you get to accomplish tasks in your painting. And so my fun fact is that I've recently got into some paint by numbers in my time off.
Well, now I think we need a photo of that to show exactly what it's been looking like. So that's all the time we have today with Michael. Thanks for joining us at Inside the Match. Special thanks to Kevin McLeod for the music, and be sure to follow or subscribe to our podcast. Catch our next podcast to learn more application tips and hear from another awesome resident.